Here is our King. Here is our love. Here is our God has come to bring us back to Him. He is the one. He is Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Now it's my daughter. I don't know how long that lasts, that stage. Is it like 12? And then they just turn, huh? That's what I hear. I'm going to try to enjoy it. How many of you guys are, you'd say, and you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but how many of you guys would say your life is going pretty good right now? It's like, you know, God is good, everything's good. All right, cool. You are definitely in a good place. So if that's you, if you're somebody who you feel like your life is going really well, I want you to realize that that's a gift. Okay, and it's an opportunity for you if things are going good for you, it's an opportunity for you to love on somebody else, right? And that's the whole purpose of the gift of life, the gifts that God gives us, right? For those of you that are going through trials, that's also a gift, right? It says in James that we should count it joy when we encounter various trials. And how many of you guys know those trials come in various forms, right? They just do, and every single time you get involved in something you shouldn't get involved in, or life happens to you, just realize it's an opportunity for you, and that opportunity is when our lives are defined. I really think so, and I've learned that a lot. So I had my daughter last year. My wife had my daughter. Definitely can't take a whole lot of credit there, but we were given that gift of life, and it's exciting. My life is going really well. I was really excited about that. I live in Ventura now. Been there for a couple of years. I used to do this regularly. If you haven't been here in a while, I think I spoke here like 3.5 years ago. I've been on a little bit of a roller coaster, some ups, some downs, some good times, some bad times, but we're not going to get into all that tonight because that's like a whole book of information that you don't need, but I can just tell you these couple things is that God is really good. And He gives us a lot more control, I think, sometimes than we actually know. But He also gives us a lot more grace, a ton more grace than we actually know. I always think of the story of the children of Israel, right? When Moses leads them out of the land of Egypt. And it's like it's really bad there. They're slaves there. And Moses leads them out only to come to a dead end. There's water, there's a sea, and there's nothing that they can do, and the enemy's closing in on them. And what does God do? He opens up the water, right? He actually performs a miracle and opens up the water. And what happens is they reluctantly at first choose to start walking through this miracle. They start walking through this unknown place. And I always think of the fact that God was holding those waters back while they were walking through. I think that's like life sometimes. Like, we don't even know what God is holding back from us. Like, we don't even know the things that He's protecting us from. We don't even know what's around the corner, but yet we can walk in faith, and that's what He wants. And if we can learn to walk in faith and trust, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me pray, and then we're gonna get into it. I'm just like, I have like a plan, but it's not really, it's very loose. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I just wanna speak what God puts on my heart in the moment. So there's this passage in Matthew. Let me read that before I pray, because it is about prayers. Matthew 5 verses, nope, that's wrong. It's actually Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 9. Some of you guys know this one, okay? I'm getting older. My vision is, it's like one eye's really good and one's really bad. How did that happen? I don't know. But Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9 says this. Jesus teaches us how to pray, teaching His disciples how to pray. It says, pray in this way, okay? If you guys don't know how to pray, very simple. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer, is that his will would be done right here in this moment. This is a very rare opportunity for you guys this week, right here, because you're here in the moment and you don't have your phone on. Or maybe you do. That's okay if you have it on, but you're not looking at it. You're not texting anybody. You're not worried that somebody's going to call you about work. Maybe you are on call for work, and if you are, that's fine. Just, you know, do what you got to do. I'm just saying it's nice to be able to sit in here distraction-free for a minute. And so as I speak, it doesn't matter what I say, okay? What matters is what God has been trying to say to you, but you've been a little too busy to hear it. What is he saying to you? Okay? What is it? And it's almost like a conversation is going to be developed tonight in some of you guys. And that conversation is going to hopefully move into tonight and into tomorrow and into the next day. Because that's what God wants from us. He just wants trust, right? He wants conversation. He wants to hang out. That's it. He wants to hang. He wants to go to barbecue. All right, let's pray. Father, we pray that your will would be done in our lives. God, we pray that all of the funny things in our life and the fun things and the good things, that we would enjoy those and see those as gifts from you. And when times get hard, Lord, that we would also see those as gifts from you. And I pray, Lord, that no matter what happens in life, Lord, what's around the corner, God, I pray that we would be able to learn to walk with you step by step. We would learn to trust you in every single circumstance. When we don't understand, I pray that we would walk toward you and not toward anything else. I thank you, God, and I praise you so much for just being here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden. Isaac was thrown onto an altar. Jacob, he wrestled an angel. He was thrown on the ground, like MMA style, like just thrown on the ground. Joseph was thrown in a pit. Moses was thrown in a river as a baby. He was orphaned. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Jonah was thrown off of a boat that he shouldn't have been on in the first place, right? But he was thrown off of it. Paul was thrown in prison. And Jesus, the one that this all revolves around, right? He was thrown on the ground, arrested, and then brought to the cross. And that's how this works. All right, good night. I feel like I could literally walk off right now. I feel like that right there is huge. Because we get frustrated when we're thrown down, right? We get frustrated when things don't go our way. Why do we get frustrated? When all throughout the Bible, God gave us this gift of this book, and it is crazy. And all throughout this book, we see people trying to do the right thing and then getting thrown down. Sometimes they're not doing the right thing, but they're just trying to be human. They're just trying to live their lives. They're just trying to enjoy it a little bit. Whatever it is that we do in life, it's interesting to me. I was talking to a guy a while back who goes to the Ventura Church, and he's a fairly new Christian. And we had like a little Bible study thing that I went to, and he was telling me afterwards, he's like, yeah, he's like, my life was pretty good before I gave my life to Jesus. He's like, and then it just went south. And it was funny because I'm like, yeah, that's what he does. He wrecks us and tears us down and really takes everything apart, and it hurts, but then he puts us back together the right way, right? And I've learned that. I've learned that that's part of the process. It is a process. Some of you guys, maybe you did know, maybe you didn't know what you were actually signing up for, but I'm telling you, guess what? It's work. But isn't anything good work, right? How many of you guys are married? Anybody married? It's easy, huh? It's nailed. I've never met somebody walk by me and just say, that marriage thing, nailing it. I've literally never heard that. And I've been in church my whole life. I'm not kidding. Has anybody ever heard somebody say that? Because it's work. It's hard. What's funny is, it's almost like God gives us these wonderful gifts, right? He says, here, I want you to have this gift. It's amazing. You're going to love it. But you got to really take care of it. It's going to take a lot of your time. It's going to take a lot of your effort. But it's your gift. And with this gift, whether it's a relationship or whether it's a job or a responsibility, whatever it is, God gives us these gifts. And he gives us different kinds for different people because we all have different roles. And he gives us these gifts and he says, I want you to take care of this. It's going to be really difficult to do, but I want you to hold on to it and take care of it. And we're like stoked. We're excited. We're happy. We're saying, okay, great. I've got this gift. That's awesome. And I love it. But I kind of want that too. And maybe a little bit of that over there. And then maybe this and maybe that. And what happens is all of a sudden you run out of time. You run out of energy. You run out of resources. You know what the one word that some of you guys need to learn? You know what that word is? No. If we do everything that everyone asks of us, we are going to be worn out and not able to take care of the things that God gives us. You won't. It's impossible. We should be saying no. We need to learn like a really loving, like nice way to say no. Does anybody know anybody that's good at that? Because I'm not. Like when somebody says, hey, you want to do this? I'm like, nah, that's not nice. Because I don't even think about it. I'm just like, nah. Learn to say no. Saying no is okay. It is. And it's not just okay. I would say it's necessary. Because God Almighty has given you a gift. And you have set it down. You thought it was a trophy. It wasn't. Pick it back up. Learn to say no. How many of you guys right now, just think about it. Did any of you guys think of anything that you need to say no to? You're not thinking hard enough then. Maybe this week, I don't know. Maybe somebody's going to come up to you and, hey, bro. I think any conversation starts with, hey, bro, guess what? Just run away. Hey, or anybody like have friends who are like, hey, dude, I just got this thing. It's awesome. And really, they want you to get the thing too. And anyway, that's a personal thing. So all these people, Adam and Eve, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's a whole list. I mean, the Bible's full, okay? Full, F-U-L-L, of people who had a bit of a hard time. And they were thrown down. Life happened to them. It was out of their control. How many of you guys are control freaks? Any control freaks in here? Like you love to take control. Now, how many of you guys, how well do you do, you control freaks? I'm talking to you guys. Just five of you. There's five of you. Who else is a control freak? Raise your hand. Come on. Hey, don't be scared now. Hey, you're not scared throughout the week, but okay, control freaks. How well do you handle it when things don't go your way? All right, you see, you guys should just leave now. Work on it. Go work on this. That's what we should do at church. Like if we pull something out, you should just get up, walk out, and start working on it right away. I feel like this is, I don't know, something. This is kind of fun. I like hanging out with you guys. So all these people that were thrown into things, were thrown down, or it's like they were on a train track. I had this thought. I was exercising. I'm going to backtrack too much. I'm going to try not to do that. But I was exercising, and I had this thought hit me really hard. Like, are you on a track, T-R-A-C-K, or are you on a trek, T-R-E-K? And I just kept having this thought. Are you on a track, T-R-A-C-K, like a train track, like woohoo, right? Or are you on a trek? Like you've got hiking shoes on and you got poles and you're like in the mountains. And I'm like, where's this thought coming from, right? And I started thinking it through more. And I was thinking, sometimes I think that when we want a lot of control, we want to plan, we want to know exactly where we're going, it's like we're on a track. And we're, the only thing that we can do on this track is we can go faster. So we put more coal in the engine and we try to go faster and faster and faster. But what happens when you're on a track and there's something in the middle of the track? What happens when there's an obstacle? Boom. It's a crash. And how many of you guys know that sometimes when you're so hard-headed and you're so stubborn that you will just keep putting coal in that engine and you'll keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, right? And it's gonna hurt. It's going to be a problem. There's going to be damage. There's going to be embarrassment, right? So there's that ideology. And then there's the other ideology that you're on a trek, a T-R-E-K. Like you have your boots on and you're up in the mountains and you're just kind of going off course and you're just kind of going for it. Now, that can also be dangerous because you could just end up lost in the woods. Right, you could just end up like who knows where, just in the woods, just living your life. That's how hippies become hippies, right? Nothing wrong with hippies, but they're not getting a lot done. So no, you know, that's just is what it is. So there's two extremes, right? There's the extreme of I'm gonna do this, no one's gonna get in my way. And then there's the other extreme of like, I'm just gonna chill and just hang out. And I've been more of that type of person in my life. I've been more of the type that's like, it'll all just work out. And what I've learned, here's what I've learned. Neither one are right. Because the truth is, there are a lot of things that are completely in our control and God wants us to work hard and be stubborn about. And there are other times in our lives where God wants us to just let go. And there's a specific way of learning to hear God, I think, and being sensitive to His Spirit and understanding how to do that. And one way is just trial by fire, right? You just got to learn, and unfortunately, that's the road a lot of us go on. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think if you make mistakes, you're living life. You just are. You're human. If you're blowing it somewhere along the line, it just is what it is. You're living your life. You're human. The key, I think, when you make a mistake, is to learn from it. You have to learn from it. Or else you're going to keep making mistakes over and over and over and over, and that's just no way to live. So some of you guys might be on one side or more of that pendulum. I don't know. But going back to these people who fell down, they all got back up, right? This is what I love about Jesus, is He came for those who fell down. He came for those who tried and failed. He came to those who were brokenhearted. In Matthew 5, now I'm in Matthew 5, we have the start of the Sermon on the Mount of the Beatitudes, and it says in 5:3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. This is how Jesus begins this major sermon that starts with just his disciples, but then multitudes come in, and by the end, they're all listening and they're all amazed. He starts this sermon by saying, "Blessed are the poor, those who mourn, the gentle, those who hunger and thirst. They've had a hard time. Blessed are those people." Right? Blessed are the people that try really hard but fail and work really hard but just can't get to where they are because God is with those people. There's another scripture in Proverbs 16:1. It says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." God weighs your motives. He looks deep. Sometimes you don't even know what your motives are. Have you ever done something that was less than smart, and then on the other end of it, you asked yourself, "Why did I do that?" Has anybody ever done that? Like, why? They say the saying, what's the saying? Hindsight is 20/20. Like, sometimes I just do stupid stuff, and I'm like, why did I do that? And really, it could be habit, but there could be something deeper going on. There could be something deeper in my heart, a motive that I don't know is there. And God is searching that. The verse goes on in verse 3, it says, "So commit your works to the Lord." Okay, so this is what you do. So if you're wanting like practical knowledge and wisdom and what do I do kind of stuff, this is it right here, Proverbs 16:3. I would write it down. I would get it in your notes. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, okay? Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Your plans. It doesn't say God's plans. It says your plans will be established. And I think that there's an interesting thing going on there in that verse, because the first part of it is commit your ways to God, right? And then your plans will be established. And so I think once you commit your ways to God, your works to God, your heart starts to change. You know, it's like action, what is it? Motion creates emotion, right? Like when you start moving towards something, your heart starts changing toward that thing. And so when you actually start doing something intentional, like make a choice, an actual choice, I'm going to do this for God, whatever it is, okay? It could be silly. Naaman in the Old Testament, he had some diseases and some problems, and he was asked to go dip in the river, and that was silly and that was goofy. But sometimes God will ask us to do things that are just kind of out of our comfort zone just to change our hearts, right? And sometimes those things can be really practical. One of the things that I had on my heart to talk to you guys about, and this is just probably for, this could be for anybody online too, but, you know, I'll get to that later. I will, I promise. I'm going to get to that later. I'm holding you in suspense. It's like commercial break. This is brought to you by Goofy Glasses. Okay, I will come back to it though, I will, I promise. One more verse real quick, Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Trust. Trust is a funny word, huh? It's kind of a skill, I think. I don't think that trust, maybe it does come natural now that I think of it. I mean, my baby, she trusts me. But somewhere along the line in life, like somebody else lets us down, right? Something happens to where we learn to not trust, I guess, right? And that seems natural, but I guess it's just part of life. So some of you guys, maybe you've had relationship issues, maybe it's been your parents, maybe it's something really deep. I don't want to get like all psychological. We don't have like a couch up here for you to lay on or anything. But the things that happen to us when we're little affect us in our adulthood. They just do. And there might be things in your life that you don't even, you're not even conscious of, you're not even thinking about, that have affected your ability to trust. I remember a long time ago, I spoke in the junior high group. If you want to toughen yourself up, go out to that junior high group. How many of you guys have junior hires? Yeah, they're wild. And I remember we did that trust fall exercise. You know the trust fall exercise where they fall back? And I just remember it really like hitting me. I was like, man, like, I don't know. Am I willing to really throw everything on the line for God? Am I really willing to give it all up at any time? And that's been an ongoing battle. But that is what God wants of us. He wants us to learn to trust, even if you have issues with trust. And if you do, I would say start with prayer. Start by asking God to put trust in your heart, because I believe that he does that. When he asks, when you see something in the Bible that we're supposed to do, I believe that if you have the Holy Spirit and you ask him to help you with it, he will actually help you with it. I know this is like super simple, like third grade stuff, but third graders are that tall, right? I know this is really simple, but that's what you do. You ask God to help you, and then look for opportunities to test that out, right? God will give you plenty. If you ask God to help you learn to trust him, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get a little screwy for you for a minute. You're going to have an opportunity to really do that. And so Proverbs 3:5 again says, go back to that verse if you guys want. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, okay? Everything you got. And do not lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways. Acknowledge. See, that's not really hard to do. Just acknowledge God. If you're at work, things are going bad, you're on the freeway, someone cuts you off, right? Get in a fight with your spouse. Whatever it is, just acknowledge God in that situation. Say, well, God, where are you here? And if he doesn't say anything, if God doesn't say anything, you're probably in the wrong. So just there, just know that, okay? Simple stuff. Well, I don't know why it's funny, because we have to relearn this stuff. Like over and over and over and over. It's like every day for me, I don't know if it is for you guys, every day I wake up and I'm just like, I just forget it all. I forget it all and I have to relearn it. Hebrews 4 talks about the Bible, the Word of God, I should say, being living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to judge your thoughts and intentions. Goes back to that. Deep stuff. Stuff we don't want to talk about. One of the things that God does require of us is honesty. Like, ultimately, I believe that God wants us to be honest with everybody to an extent. When I was little, I've always been known as, like, a kid and even an adult who's just too honest. Like, I will tell you anything. And I learned as I got older that to be honest, you don't have to just be an open book. You don't have to tell everybody everything you're thinking all the time, because then you're just a jerk, right? Yeah. Or a weirdo or whatever. I think of that movie, The Goonies. You guys know that movie? You know when Chunk like just like starts spilling his guts and telling him everything he's done wrong? That's his name, right? The kid, the little kid? You don't have to be like that, but I think God requires honesty. He wants us to be honest, I think, first with ourselves. He wants us to reevaluate ourselves. I just thought the other day about taking communion. We take communion sometimes at church, and that's good. We do that, and we got to keep doing that, and we do that here. Nothing wrong with taking communion, but the idea of taking communion once at one specific time could be problematic in that communion should be a lifestyle, an everyday lifestyle. Communion is something that we do with God. Like, we should constantly be in communion. And when you go to take communion, like the physical, like take the blood and take the cracker and you pray, the idea is that you're examining yourself. The idea is that you're looking into your heart and you're asking God, what is it in my mind? What is it in my heart? What is it in my life that needs to change? What is it that I need to work on? What do I need to confess to you? What do I need to say to you so that we can get some work done here, so I can change and I can be somebody who has a better character? That's the idea of communion. And I was thinking, like, as Christians, really, we should be doing that all the time. We should constantly be reevaluating ourselves. Have you ever met somebody that just judges you like crazy, or like judges people? Have you ever met somebody that just talks crap about people all the time? Have you ever met anybody like that? Don't you get tired of it? What's sad is they forgot the work that they're supposed to do. They forgot that they were supposed to be looking inward. And instead of looking inward, at some point the work got too hard, right? It got too difficult. And so instead of working on their own life, they decided they're just going to talk about everybody else. They're just going to look at everybody else and find their flaws to deflect the things that are going on in their lives. If I'm catch myself being critical, if I catch myself looking at other people's lives too much, I have to just stop. I have to just stop. Sometimes that's exactly what we need to do, right? We need to just stop. The next time you see somebody doing that, have fun with it, okay? And just start saying something. My wife and I, we like to have fun, and we were gonna hang out with some people that were like kind of negative. And so we decided that every time they said something negative, we were gonna say something positive. It was like a joke between us. And it was funny, but what was crazy is it got really difficult. We talked about it afterwards. We're like, it was like negative comment after negative comment after negative comment. And we're like, positive, positive, positive. We're running out of stuff to say. Which means that we need to think more positively too, probably, right? But you, right? You guys. Those of you that got in your cars in this 100-degree weather and you drove to 2300 East Brundage Lane. Or for those of you that did less work and opened your computer, that's fine. that's okay. That's why we do it. I love you guys. I do. But you guys are the light of the world. That's what you are. And if you aren't shining, then it's dark. I'm not talking about perfection. Although Jesus, in his Mount of Beatitudes sermon, he gets to the point where he's like, you need to just be perfect. But I think what he was doing there is he was setting us up for a real need for him, for as a savior. He's saying the bar is high. I was thinking about people that I know that are really successful. For some men and even women and just like, I know some people that are very, very, very success driven. And there's nothing wrong with working hard and getting, you know, things accomplished. I appreciate that. But what I've learned is no matter how hard these people work, no matter how much they get, they're still not satisfied. They're still not happy with where they are. And that's kind of how life is, right? I think it's kind of like that constant reminder that there's still something to work on. But I'm gonna wrap up right now because I'm running out of time. But I just want to simplify everything for you guys tonight. And I'm going to read a verse that wasn't in my notes. I'm going to go to Matthew 22. This is something. Oh, there's music. Hey, that was weird. Matthew 22:37. I feel like I should change my pace or something. I'm like, start crying. Matthew 22:37. Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing? Here's your homework for this week, okay? Actually, for your life. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. The second is like it. So this is the great and first commandment, but the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So you should love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that, like the spillover effect, should be that you should love the people around you. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Think, who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? People that live in your home? People that live on your street? People that you go to work with? Who are they? Who's your neighbor? Who is it? Who is it? I think it starts at home. I think it starts at home. If you're not taking care of the people in your home, you're failing. If you're not loving the people in your home, then you are failing. If you're not loving the people that God has put in your life, you're failing. But what's a failure? Just an opportunity to get it right. Right? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you just put a fire of love in our heart, Lord, that you just put your heart somehow.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.